Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I am Jim Browdy. She is Margregan. Here with us in Studio 3 for our, I guess, recurring take on new music are Edgar B. Herwick III, the man behind the Curiosity Desk. Hey there. And Sarah Rodman, who's the TV and pop music critic for the Boston Globe. Hi, Sarah. You know, you guys, a lot of people, I know it happens to me. I'm sure it happens to Marty. What do they really like? And you know what I've been saying these days? What all you need to know to describe the difference is while you are doing an important interview with Robert Plant, formerly of Led Zeppelin,
yes.
Edgar is jumping into the Charles River with no permit. I mean, doesn't that sort of describe the difference?
I think that captures it perfectly.
And
it
we both
let you know
need
where
Purell.
Our status is. Yeah. Yeah, we both need Purell.
Would you do that?
Experience.
Would you jump in?
Not in a million years.
What is Robert Plant like, by the way? How old is he, by the way?
He is, I want to say he's 65, and he was delightful. He was really great. Funny, gracious, really enjoyable. That's going to be a good show that I'm sadly missing, but everyone else should attend.
Great interview. You,
he's one of those guys that I'm always surprised that he has a British accent. I mean, I know he's British, you know what I mean? But like when you hear him talk, you're like, oh, yes, he's British. And it's sort of
like
surprising.
Peter Frampton is like that.
Frampton is like that, absolutely.
You had a great line in your interview when he interrupted the interview because he said a maid knocked on the door. Tell people what he said.
It was so funny. He's like, hang on a second. He goes to the door and he comes back and he was just like, I'm so sorry. A beautiful young maid came to the door and I had to say, sorry, darling, wrong decade.
Speaking of wrong decade, one of our colleagues mentioned, whatever happened to what's his name, to Jimmy, to Page.
He is working on some Led Zeppelin reissue stuff. He did a band, funnily enough, with David Coverdale, which is kind of hilarious. He's done a lot of side projects over the years, and he and Page and Plant have gotten together periodically to do things, Walking to Clarksdale and a couple other, just the two of them albums.
Okay, so we're ready for what you're bringing. Should we start with Edgar B. Herwick III? What are you bringing to the table, or to the turntable, I guess you would say?
Well, Edgar. I mean, I'm going to start off with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. They're legendary, and they're going to be in town as part of this Boston Summer Arts Weekend. Full disclosure, that's a GBH Boston Globe event, so that's our event, and I'm going to be down there through the weekend as part of it. But they're just one of the bands that are playing. They're playing Friday night, also going to be on Friday night, Dr. John, a group called Delamay. And then this is on Saturday. There's going to be concerts, including Angelique Kidjo. She's sort of the centerpiece on Saturday night. And Session Americana, who are a bunch of local guys,
so
which is
good.
Actually really cool that they're a part of this. And then the crown jewel
Alison Krauss
on Sunday.
Speaking of Robert Plant, right.
Speaking of Robert Plant, exactly. By the way, all of these free concerts, this is on Copley Plaza. And then the way they do it is there's concerts all day. They're free. You can just kind of walk up, take in as much as you want. And then at night they do this after dark thing. So if you want to pay a ticket and see these bands in like a little bit more of an intimate setting, and this is our own Brian O'Donovan who kind of runs this. And what he does is they all kind of play together. So they're in this, like, over at the Copley Fairmount Plaza, and you're going to have, like, all of these bands from different genres in this late night setting, kind of beer and wine, and they're going to be playing together. It's pretty cool. It happened last year. It's happening this year. So anyway,
Edgar will try to get you in, Marjorie, if you're looking for a little land
base. I'll see what I can do, Marjorie. If not, we'll go swimming in the Charles, you and I. But
so what is the
Preservation Hall Jazz Band
do?
So they're out of New Orleans, and they've been around for 50 years now. It's a rotating cast of characters, and basically their whole thing is they've got this space in New Orleans, and they're dedicated.
You ever been in it?
What's that?
I've never been to Preservation Hall in New Orleans that is literally, and people are going to think I'm exaggerating, literally two-thirds the size of this room. It is unbelievable.
This room is very small.
But go ahead.
So they're dedicated to preserving New Orleans-style jazz, and they've got a space called the Preservation Hall. It's live music every day of the week down there in New Orleans. That's what they do. And then they've got a wing of their band who tours. But anyway, they put this record out. It's their 50th anniversary. It just came out this month. And this is the first time they've ever, in 50 years, put a record out of original material. Normally, they're playing, you know, songs that are upwards of a couple hundred years old because they're playing this old style of jazz. And I want to give you a little taste, two quick tastes of the songs. But the first one that I want to hear is called The Darker It Gets. And this is what you normally get out of the Preservation Hall, this kind of a song, this kind of a sound.
Amazing how it changes. It's cold and then it's high. Then I stumble on, that sweet, sweet spot. That hidden place I long to be.
Right.
That is really good.
The true New Orleans thing. But what's interesting about this album is because it's originals, they stretch out a little bit and they do some stuff that's maybe not exactly what you would expect. And I wanted to bring a cut. This is the title cut from the record. That's it. To give you a sense of just some of the areas that they're going into in this record.
Yeah.
So you can hear it's still the instruments you would expect in Dixieland, but they're not playing a Dixieland song. So this is a really neat record, and this is going to be a great performance Friday night. You can check them out Boston Summer Arts Weekend.
Can you match that, Sarah Rodman?
I'm going to go in a completely different direction. Something that delightful and up-tempo requires something.
Bring us down a little bit, please,
well,
Sarah.
This isn't sad. It's actually really funny.
Oh, okay.
But it's a little more austere, I should say. This is Brandi Clark. She is somebody that up until this point has been a big songwriter in Nashville. She wrote the song Better Dig 2 for the band Perry and the current Miranda Lambert single Mama's Broken Heart. And my favorite song from last year was called We Can't Be Friends by Joanna Smith. Now she's putting out her own album. And this song is about a woman who really wants to take care of her husband, but she knows that she doesn't look good in orange or stripes. And so she withholds her rage. The song is called Stripes. Orange is not
really
her color.
That's great.
Excellent.
She's such a good songwriter. The album's coming out later this year, and it's full of really smart. Like, she writes these sort of poppier songs for the big artists that she writes for, and then she's reserved the songs about housewives getting high and, you know, people popping pills for her own album for a more sort of authentic.
Where's she based out of, Sarah?
She's in Nashville now. She's originally from Washington State, but she lives in Nashville.
You know, by the way, the two of you, if you want to know if Marjorie likes your selection, if she is scribbling furiously in the middle of the song, that means she likes what
also,
you pick.
Also, how much she sways. I know. Marjorie's default dance move is the sway.
Sway, that's right.
That's true.
Well, it's an excellent start.
I perfected my sway, I think, Edgar.
It's very alluring.
What's next, Edgar?
Well, I'm going to stay in Tennessee, actually, and I'm going to go back in time. This is a band called Big Star, who had a very short-lived career from about 1971 to 1974. And there's a new album out right now that's going hand-in-hand with a documentary about this band. Now, these guys are one of these bands where nobody really bought the records, but then a generation of bands on their heels were hugely influenced by them. So bands like R.E.M., cite them as a major influence. And R.E.M. would go on to sell hundreds of thousands and millions of records. But Big Star never did. Probably the one song that people know from Big Star is because it was used as the theme song from That 70s Show. Do you remember that show?
Gosh.
That 70s Show?
Yes.
That Hanging Out.
It was actually a Cheap Trick cover that
they used. It was a Cheap Trick cover. And Cheap Trick's another band very influenced by Big Star. Anyway, they have a tragic story. Two songwriters named Chris Bell and Alex Chilton.
Bless you, Marjorie.
Beautiful music. They only put three records out, and there's a documentary that's new, and with it is a double album that came out on Record Store Day that's really kind of an overview of their catalog. And this is a song from that.
My
which
favorite
is called,
Big Star song.
This is a great song. This is called 13. Here's a little of it.
Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside when it's okay. Now
you can kind of hear
really
it's the 70s,
you
know what I mean?
Great.
But
there is this
streak of melancholy through all of their music, even when they're rocking it hard, which they do sometimes. And they're largely unknown still, so this is a great opportunity to get to know this band, Big Star.
Speaking of documentaries, in my usual self-serving way, did either of you see the Springsteen thing that opened last
night?
It's
airing again next on the 30th.
It is.
So if people want to go out and see
I'm going to see this weekend, 20 Feet from Stardom.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go see it this weekend.
This is about the backup singers.
Absolutely. You are going to get chills when you see that film. It's an excellent film. It's going to get nominated for an Oscar.
I hope so. What do you have next, Sarah Rodman?
Okay, up next, I have what I think is my favorite album for the summer. This is Booker T. Jones. Booker T, you may remember, was Booker T and the MGs, of Green Onions, part of the Stax house band with Otis Redding and people like that. He has a new album out with a lot of his friends on it. Sheila E., Estelle, Mayor Hawthorne. It's just, some of it's instrumental, some of it has vocals on it, but it just it sounds like summer to me. Like if you could contain summer on a record, it's very breezy and fun and it's really good. And the track that we are going to listen to is the one that has Estelle on it, and it is called Can't Wait.
It's a lovely feeling, can't be defeated today. Got my head up high, feeling fine, it's gonna go my way. I can't wait to feel this sunshine, share this smile. Wave hello, maybe lay halo in the pop walk.
That optimism that like you hear in her voice, it just runs through the whole record. It's really uplifting and yeah. sunny, and you just want to like jump in front of a fire hydrant while you're listening.
Or jump in the Charles, depending.
Or
on
jump
what
in the Charles
you're
if you're not worried about
what's your
syphilis.
Name? What's your name one more time?
Her name is Estelle. Okay. It's a song on the new Booker T. Jones album, Sound the Alarm.
By the way, these are
going to all be on our website, correct? That's correct.
I believe
so.
So
people, if you can't get it now, you're driving in your car or whatever, you can look up on the WGBH website, Boston Public Radio.
They put it on the website because Marjorie often can't read her writing.
That's right. We do it for Marjorie.
It's great. I mean, don't you want
to
get home and put these things on your iPod? You want to be able to do this on your iPod.
Absolutely.
I get very frustrated when I can't remember. Because I can't read my writing.
So Sarah raised the bar yet again, Edgar.
She did.
Take it away.
I think the only way that I can deal with this is to go to the absolute weirdest extreme possible. So I'm going to do that. Raise your hand here. Tell me, do you guys remember a television show called Twin Peaks?
Do we remember? I can recite it.
The greatest. So can I. The greatest.
David Lynch, one of the greatest ever.
So David Lynch, who is, I agree, one of the greatest ever. I love his films.
Director,
I love Twin Peaks. He is also a musician and has been for years. In fact, that music that's so like iconic in Twin Peaks,
so
which... That was Julie Cruz is the singer, and Angelo Badalamenti is the composer. But David Lynch was a part of the team that composed those songs.
He's a shockingly good musician,
right?
Is he really?
So he has a couple of records out. He has a new record out now, right? So this is the David Lynch, and I've been watching Twin Peaks on Netflix because it's available again, and I am now like in that weird obsessed with David Lynch mind space, also, which makes everything around you weird. But so I'm obsessed with him right now, and so I decided to pick. He's got a new record out. Came out a couple weeks ago. It's called The Big Dream, and it's kind of exactly what you'd expect. It's a little bit weird, but it's a little bit great. Let's hear one of the tracks from this. This is from his newest record. Wishing Well is the name of the song.
Totally Twin Peaks.
Right.
Very
really
Twin Peaks.
This guy's pushing 70, and he is still as weird as ever, and he's still pushing the boundaries, and you got to love that about him.
What does he do on this album? What does he play something?
That's him singing.
That's it, okay.
And he's composing. He's composing the music, and then he assembles some musicians around him, and he sequences. He also has that really weird, that vocal quality, which he uses in Twin Peaks on that little midget guy in the dream where you hear him talking like this. That sort of, it's throughout the album. It's great.
I mean, you do TV too, Sarah. Twin Peaks was everything is weird now on television.
Right, exactly.
But that was the first of the weird,
right.
It not?
Well, I mean, something like The Prisoner was probably the first of the weird, but Twin Peaks was absolutely seminal in the pivot for people being like, ooh, we can do really strange things on television, hallucinatory sequences and like things that don't make sense and people obsessing over cherry pie and coffee. And
one of my favorite series.
But then
ever.
At the same time, you guys, it's hysterical and funny and strange, but it's also legitimately scary.
Yes.
Like, this is the thing that's great about it, right? Like, not only is it so weird, it is chilling.
Mm.
It is frightening.
And a lot, you know, one of my things about TV shows of being a mark of a great television show is when a lot of the cast goes on to be in other things. And a lot of the people on that show are still working today. I mean, Kyle MacLachlan and Matt Chinamick and, you know, the woman who played Laura Palmer, whose name I'm forgetting right now, but shows up in episodic television.
Right, Sharon Fenn, she's still around. And
one of the women, sadly, and I was not on this website, one of my interns was the other day, appears on 10 worst facelifts ever, whatever. What's the name of the woman?
Oh, Laura Flynn Boyle.
Laura Flynn Boyle, thank you. You knew right away, didn't you?
She did have a pretty awful facelift.
Very sad. In any case, I shouldn't have brought that
interestingly,
up.
Interestingly, you know, it's an interesting Twin Peaks tie-in, is that that famous Mad Men sequence, I think it was from last season, where he kills the woman and stuffs her under her bed, and it turns out it was a dream, right? Mm. She's Madgen Amick from Twin Peaks. So it's interesting that in this dream sequence in Mad Men, you have somebody from Twin Peaks. Which
I think is
intentional.
Oh, okay. For me, this is a very mainstream choice, but I enjoy it very much. Kelly Rowland, who was one of Destiny's Children with Beyoncé, one of clearly the less important ones since she wasn't Beyoncé, according to Beyoncé anyway.
Didn't something happen to her yesterday? Was there some...
She got like a drift at sea,
Oh, that's what it was. And they rescued her. Okay, that's
But she is not a drift at sea on her new album.
Boom. Nicely done. Good setup.
No, Kelly Rowland.
From Destiny's Child.
Right. So she was the sort of the next prettiest and talented. And so she has a new solo album out, which is really quite excellent. It's in sort of a updated Donna Summer vein, like a very contemporary dance music kind of thing. But I happen to personally have an affinity for Kiss Off songs. I don't really know why, but I enjoy them so much. And there's a really good one on her new album called Talk a Good Game. And the song is called Gone. And she says to... the guy in the song that he's got a new chef. Your dinner's waiting down the street and you can have it your way. This is Gone by Kelly Rowland.
So they hate each other?
No, no. She actually, there's one song on the record where she talks about that. They're very close.
They are
like sisters. But you know, obviously, when you're not Beyoncé and Destiny's Child, your life is different. And so
when you're not Diana Ross and the Supremes,
exactly. And so they're very close. And she talks about it in a song called "Dirty Laundry," where how it was hard for her to, you know, watch Beyoncé go on and become so popular as a solo artist, and people only sort of associate with her. But they're very good friends and. All is well, and Beyonce is actually on the record. So, and yes, that was Joni Mitchell's "Big Yellow Taxi" that you heard her biting a little bit of for the chorus there.
Why does Joni Mitchell not perform anymore? I was asking.
Have you heard her speak recently?
No, she smokes too much. Really? Is that what it is? Because of the cigarettes and stuff? She's a big smoker. Is that really what it is?
I mean, I don't know that she doesn't want to for that reason, but her voice is not.
And you hear it was. That last album that she made, I don't remember when it was, but it was 5 or 10 years ago. And boy, you know, she was down about two octaves.
Right. I mean, she still has talent. I mean, quality. There's a quality to her voice that's still interesting. But there's no way she could sing a song like that.
She's going to do a cover album of Leonard Cohen's greatest hits, right?
I hope you're not mocking Leonard Cohen.
Speaking of 70-somethings, the guy. I saw him at Madison Square Garden a couple years ago, and it knocked my socks off.
So
unbelievable.
Energetic.
You've been mocking me all day.
Why?
Will and Kate are about to come out of the hospital.
Oh, with the child?
I have been in a royal baby free zone.
Oh, I would
like to keep it that way.
Oh, a baby free zone. Yes. Yeah. Well, not you're unfortunately you're sitting next to the.
I flew to London and back just to be there for the royal occasion.
This is why you weren't here yesterday.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
So I think we have one more left from you,
yes,
Sarah. Is that correct?
We do. Getting back into sort of a country folk vein. So the. And also, 20 Feet from Stardom vein, the two women who are not Natalie Maines and the Dixie Chicks have a band called the Courtyard Hounds. This is the sisters, Marty McGuire and Emily Robison. They have a new album out called Amelita. And you know what? This is kind of a Kiss-Off song, too. Wow. I don't know what's happening in my life
bad
here.
Bad relationships lately, Sarah, you'd like to tell us about?
I think we might need to work this out after we're off the air.
Okay.
This song is called Sunshine.
You're no stranger to the art of how to fake it. Play until you break it, you make it hard to be around.
The happy-sounding song that's actually kind of bitter. And, you know,
it's okay.
It's just super fun for me. And the harmonies, the sister harmonies, I really enjoy. It's good stuff.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to say goodbye to both of you. Tell people what tomorrow's show is about. And then, Edgar, we're going to go out on your final selection.
Excellent.
What do you think of that?
That
tomorrow, we have Brian McGrory. He's your boss. You know
he's my boss.
Okay, so be good.
Absolutely.
He's the editor of the Boston Globe. He'll be with us. And John King, who's usually with us, Dorchester's own from CNN, usually with us Tuesday at noon, had a conflict today. He'll be here Wednesday at noon. What are you sending people home on, Edgar?
This is the great and not to be forgotten Beck, who people remember from Loser, his famous song Loser way back in the 90s. But he continues to make really interesting music. The last album he put out was just sheet music. He didn't even record it. Oh. He just put out sheet music. That's worth looking into. There are YouTube videos all over the place of people recording Beck's stuff. But this is a new single, the latest thing that he's released, and it's a great tune.
Thank you, Edgar. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.